So I figured we'd skip a little bit. There's several sifim here that discuss how terrible it is for children to be mevatel Torah. So okay, but we get to in sif Yud Zayin and well Yud Ches and Yud Tes. So this gets into an issue which you may recognize from other contexts. Where it is, v'mishkan, the Torah says v'mishkan malami shemalami l'tinokos va'acher tovim menu misalkin harishon rifnei hasheni. That if there is somebody who is already teaching the children, and somebody else comes who is better. Now, how do you define he is better? So we'll get into that in a moment. Yeah, you could do teacher ratings, right? All right. You could, or rateyourteacher.com. So Tovi ben misalkin harishon rifnei hasheni. So you'd remove the first one in favor of the second one. So then it comes v'yesh kan shnayim. If you have two teachers, ha'echad korei harbe ve'inu medaknik imahem. One learns a lot. One is able to cover a lot of ground, but isn't so medaknik. Isn't so careful that they all get it right. Lavino, they understand. Al nachon, al nachon correctly. Va'acher eno kari kolchach. The other one doesn't cover as much ground. El shemadati k'mam lavino. Make sure they understands it. Lochem oso shemadati yosir. We take the one who is more careful. We take the one who makes sure that the children know it correct, even if it's going to come at the expense of covering more material. So the basios, these are both coming out of a gemara in Maseches Baba Basra, right? That gemara. So it says Beperek Beis Baba Basra Amar Rava. Hi, into the Beis Yosef. Hi Mikre Amar Rava. So a comment of Rava. Hi Mikre Yenuke Degaris Vika Achrina Degaris Tfei. If you have a Rebbe who is teaches, and there's another one who could teach more. Mine, from him. Lo misalkinle, don't remove him. Dilma asi liis reshule, that perhaps he will get lazy. Now, it's a little unclear to me why the second guy is going to get lazy. He's considered better than the first one. So it sounds like he's going to get, like, arrogant. He's going to, I mean, Rashi, if you skip a few lines, Rashi, he quotes the Rashis on this, and Rashi comments about this line. He says, appears Rashi, Dilma asi liis reshule, yisbar belibo she'in kamoso v'yis rashal minatinokus v'lo yira shema yisalkuhu. He'll think he's the best guy because they removed somebody else in his favor, and then he's not going to try so hard. I think covers more ground, learns more. No, that I don't think that he personally knows more. I think he'll make the Chol Tamidim know more. That was my impression, yeah. So that's Shita of Rava. So Rav Dimi min Hardai Amar, no, Kol Shekein Degaris Fei. Of course you take the one who can cover more ground. Kinaso from Tarba Chachma, because the jealousy among scholars will increase Chachma, and that will, you know, the fact that he knows that there's somebody on his tail, and somebody could, just as he replaced someone else could replace him, so that will motivate him to continue to work hard. So that's the first
anticipation that someone's going to replace him.
That's what it sounds like.
That someone's going to go faster.
Yeah, right. If he could beat somebody else, so somebody else is going to be able to come and beat him.
So it's a race to, in that respect, rather than a race for.
Well, hold on a second. Yeah, you know. Well, hold on. There's the next discussion about what's considered the best kind of teacher. V'amar Rava, honey tray mikri dardike. If you have two types of malabdin, chad garis v'lo dayik, v'chad dayik v'lo garis. One covers ground but isn't so careful, and one is very careful but doesn't cover as much ground. V'svina who the garis, you take the one who covers more ground. V'lo dayik shebeshta is not so nervous about mistakes, right? The daik shebeshta memela nafka, because the mistakes will work themselves out. That eventually the kid will get older, and as he gets older, he'll cover more and more ground. He'll realize that, oh, his rabbi must have made a mistake when he was third grade, and he'll be okay. I don't know. I still have tainas on my first grade teacher who shall remain nameless, who said that a patach and a kametz make the same sound.
There's also the story of Yoav.
Yes, that's this Gemara. Okay. So one second. So Rav Dimi min Harda Amar. So Rav Dimi min Harda says, Mosvinan d'dayik v'logaris. Take the one who is careful and doesn't cover as much. Shebeshta, right? Why? Kevan da'al'al. Because once it's there, once the mistake is already in the head of the Talmud, it's going to be very hard for him to get at it.
So don't they have this concept in the yeshivas? They have like Bekiyas and like Eman. Don't they have like two different shiurim that they That's
more advanced students.
Well, the machlokas right now is not right. What's more important to learn, whether you should learn quickly or slower? Here the question is what's considered better with regards to children, with regards to the teachers. Should the teachers be teaching more and not being so careful about mistakes, or careful about mistakes? And I mean, truth is with Bikias and Ian, eventually they sort of merge together. In theory, that's not really this topic. I have my theories
just
about that.
I thought that we were trying to cover both bases by doing speak ground and they have something I do in more detail.
That's really with older boys. That's not really a Shulchan Aruch type of thing. That this is really talking about the Talmidim, the students, the Rebbeim of children. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara goes on and tells that story of Yoav, right? That Yoav was ready to Yoav was ready to that Yoav came back and he only killed the boys, the male Amalekites and male Edomites and not the female. I believe it's
about Amalekites.
I know, but I believe the Gemara made reference to Edom. Take a look there. Didn't bring the Gemara here, right? But the pasuk is from the Amalek pasuk. It says Timche et Zachar Amalek. He thought that it said that it was, and it's a little hard to figure out in the Gemara what it's referring to, because the Gemara doesn't have the kudos. But he thought it only meant destroy the males, and he said, "What do you mean? It's destroy the memory of it, right?" So he got all upset with his Rebbe that taught him that halacha all the way back. So he went and brought a taina on him. Went to the Rebbe and said, how do you teach it? And also it's a little hard to figure out, but the impression is that he said, no, I taught it the right way. And yet he was still ready to kill. He took out his sword about to kill the Rebbe, because even if you taught it the right way, you didn't make sure that I knew it the right way. Right? So then the Gemara concludes by saying, some say that he killed them and some say that he didn't. Right? So that makes sure that he knows what the case. So that story seems to indicate that we follow like Rav Dimi min Harda, that it's more important to make sure you get it right rather than cover ground. And that's in fact how we paskin. Right? Skip the Rashis here, but towards the end of the space, you know, Pasuk HaRash K'Rav Dimi B'Debasarahu. They passing like Rav Dimi because he comes last. But the Maisi Tamud Siyasal Advar, because the Gemara brings a story and to his psak, which is that story of Yoav. And then Veloni Sparu Advarim Elu B'Divrei Rama Velo Yadati Lam. He says, by the way, this doesn't appear in the Rambam. I'm not really sure why it doesn't. Okay, good. So we might come back here. You could put a bookmark there, but let's try to cover this sugi here in the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe we may not get beyond it. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says here, it says Yud Ches. Yud Ches. Resh Mem He Sif Yud Ches. Im Yesh Kan Malami. You have a Rebbe, Shemalami Lithinokos, who was teaching children. Someone else comes along better than him. Misalkin Harishon Mifnei Hasheni. So you can remove the first one in lieu of the second one. And then continues on. We'll just do both of them. Yeish kan shnei malam de echad kori harbi ve'im medakim imam la'abinam al nachon ve'echad in kori kol kach aval shem medakim imam la'abinam lochem osam shem medakim yosef. Yeah, right? As we said, one teaches a lot and doesn't make sure they get it right. And the other one makes sure he gets it right. He doesn't teach as much. You teach the one who is more careful. That's
so,
the psalm.
So it's the same. You didn't really define, though, in your chest what's better.
Very good. So the Piskei Tshuva here on the bottom in Yud comments is Yud Tes defining Yud Ches, right? Yud Ches is who's better. So Yud Tes then gives an equation of which one is better, right? Is it better to cover ground or is it better to make sure the person is correct? So is Yud Tes qualifying Yud Ches or not? That seems to be the question the Piskei Tshuva is dealing with. It says Kasa B'Sefer B'nei Chayei. Near Ledaktik Mikan, Sha'af Shekvar Haya Melamed, Kishaba Acher, Shalome Tomi Menu, Misalkin Harishon. He says that yes, it's true that if you have someone else who can teach better than the first one, you're going to remove the first one. Aval Gabe Echad Kore Harbe Lechule, but with regards to Sif Yud Tes, Besif Sha'achar Zed, the Chasa Shalokin Lemisha Medaktin Yoser, Mashavdin Kvar Lakhuhu, Lo Misalkin. Lomisalkin, I'm not sure. Yaseha, we wouldn't remove him. What?
Yeah,
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But we wouldn't remove him. Meaning, so what the Sefer B'nai Chai is saying, that with regards to Halacha Yud Ches, about removing the first one in favor of the second one, Yud Ches is not defining which that for the purpose of Yud Ches. He says, Yud Ches, this machlokas of which one is better, this one or that one, he says, that's only when you have two candidates in front of you, which one are you going to take? Are you going to take the one who is more careful, or are you going to take the one who's going to cover more? But if you have one who is covering a lot of ground, and someone else shows up and says, I'm not going to cover as much ground, but I'm going to be careful, I'm going to be more careful than the first one, so we would not. That would not be grounds for dismissal of the first one. That seems to be this psak here of the B'nai Chai. Right?
So in the former case, then, it's you already have somebody doing whichever they're doing, and then another candidate comes.
Yeah.
In the first case, though, the guys are both there.
Right. The second case is when they're both there. The first case is someone else shows up and it's better. Now, you're back to, okay, well, what's better? Well, what's going to be better is that he could cover more ground, or if he's...
That's not considered. If he's already got the job, you can't remove him.
Well, that's a good thing. Yeah.
You can't remove him for someone of the other category.
Right.
But if somebody is a ground coverer, and someone else shows up and said, I'm going to be a better ground coverer, right? They're covering 5 blot a year, I'll cover 10 blot a year.
Yeah.
So then it sounds like that you would be in favor of the second one. That's at least according to this psak of the B'nai Chai. So the Aruch HaShulchan seems to disagree. The Aruch HaShulchan here in Reish Mem Hei Yud Ches, so he says, "Venir is the Chasu Aram of the Torah Shulchan Aruch. Since Yud Ches, he means Kamal Mishal Ma'ariv Tznokus Va'acher. Tovim Masachin Avishu Vnei Hasheni Ad Kalashanu Venira Duwa Din Badin Hakodem Sharei Hasheni Tovim Menu V'Yesh Mi She'ino Sharei Sheni Overcame." And the same thing would be with the other din, meaning the second thing that which he comments here about the one could learn a lot and isn't so careful, etc. That's his order. So he says, with regards to that din halacha, what do you think that's telling you? That's telling you which one is better. So one is going to be better than the other. The one who is more exact is better than the one who covers a lot of ground. So you would take the one who is more exact over the one who would cover ground. That's the sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan. And then he says, "V'yish mi she'en okay." There are those who don't say that, and I am Piskei Tshuva in this sif, right? So that Piskei Tshuva, which we just learned. So that's so he points out that disagrees. Volonahiri, it doesn't seem clear to me. That's his pshat. So the Aruch HaShulchan, there seems to be an achlokas Aruch HaShulchan and this sefer B'nai Chai about whether we would apply the rules of Yud Ches in order to resolve a Yud Ches machlokas. Okay, so that's issue one that the Aruch HaShulchan seems to take on the world with. Another issue that he seems to take on other people is the is the issue of, okay, so what does that mean that you can remove him? When can you remove him? If the Zman starts in September, and now November comes around, and all of a sudden some guy shows up in town and says, oh, I think I can do the job better than him. So is that grounds for dismissal? We say, well, okay, we have a new guy. Sorry, you can now take a hike. And you say to the original teacher, you know, you're now dismissed because we found somebody else that is better. So is that the way... Is that the way that it works? That does, you know, it could just happen right on a dime like that.
No, we're
so it's hard to imagine such a right, but
well,
okay.
There are issues about contracts and stuff.
Academic
years.
What?
Academic years.
Do you go by by academic years or not? So it seems like I didn't bring. Otherwise, I'd have to bring a whole other pile. But if one goes to in Choshen Mishpat, so Choshen Mishpat are where the laws of Hilchos Polam are, and it does touch on them, some of these Hilchos Polam. And there, it seems the Beis Yosef, although I didn't see it actually in the Shulchan Aruch itself, but the Beis Yosef quotes from earlier Rishonim that says that you would have to that this doesn't mean you could do it right in the middle of the year. It means. It means when the Zman is over, you have the right of dismissal of that person if you're able to find somebody who could be an improvement. Right? So what is that Zman? How does one figure out that Zman? Especially if we skip the Sifim, but the Sifim before seems to imply that there's no Bein HaZman. I mean, you have to figure out how Bein HaZman fits in to the earlier Sifim, where it seems to talk about that children have to be learning all the time, every day, including Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos, and Motzi Shabbos. So when exactly how exactly are you going to figure out when the year ends? So the Pesachi Tshuva there in Choshen Mishpat seems to say that, yeah, there's two ends of the year. There's, I think, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan and Rosh Chodesh ER or something. At some there's 2 points in the year that he says that that's the minhag where we seem to assume that the year begins, and that's the point where you can start removing Rabbanim in favor of ones that you think might be improved upon. So here as well, the Pesachi Tshuva. So here again, the Aruch HaShulchan says, why? Right? He says, the Aruch HaShulchan here, in Reish Mem Hei Sif Yutas, so Ma'ashba Lahadya, the Gamim Lomar B'Sechar Misalkin, and later you can remove him. Deem Lukain Hayalem Lefarish. Otherwise, I would have said so explicitly. V'chim Uvor Lahadya Milashan HaShas HaPoskim, Da Filu Be'emtza Zman Misalkin, and later you can remove him in the middle of Zman. The V'sof HaZman, Lo Shayach Slukei, Kevin Shenigmar Zman HaSchiris. Right? Otherwise, there's no Chiddush. Right, the one is learned. You learn through Maseches Zman HaBasra, and you get to this halacha, and it seems, and you can remove it. Why, if you have to wait till the end of the Zman, you have to wait for the contract to be up. Assuming that there, or let's assume there's no contract. Let's just assume that it's, you know, this is the minute of the way things are done. If you have to wait, so there's no special. There's no special dispensation that's being given for Melamdin, right? Right? Came to Nigmar Zman Eschias. Oh, the Imkain High La Poskim Levaris. The Imkain Lachora in a Muvan. Lama Yigra Hamelamid Mishar Poel. The Im Balabais Yachol Lachzer Bo Bem Sazman. Why would a Melamid be any different than other Poelim where the Balabais isn't able to back out in the middle of the Zman, right? So it must be that there is a distinction. What's that distinction? The distinction is that when that if somebody else shows up in town, so the Melamid could in theory lose his job on the spot, in which case. That while it might be tough looks on the Melamdin, who's it good news for? It's good news for the kids. Plus, you're going to have a Melamdin that's going to be constantly on his toes in order to ensure that the kids are taught the kids are taught appropriately. So you have the Shulchan Aruch, I shouldn't say Shulchan Aruch, but the Beis Yosef slash Pesachi Tshuva in Choshen Mishpat that seem to not make much of a distinction between Melamdin and other professions. And you have the Aruch HaShulchan saying, no. Melamdin means that it's... that there is a special dispensation that you would get rid of a Lamdin, perhaps on the spot. And then on the other extreme...
So if you wrote that into one's contract...
Well, you're assuming there's contracts. There's not necessarily contracts.
Okay, well, it doesn't...
Contracts might change things. Contracts would change, in theory. Contracts. It seems like contracts would change things, perhaps even according to the Aruch HaShulchan. Uh-huh. The Aruch HaShulchan, you're overriding these rules. I mean, there is a, and Rav Moshe discusses this somewhat as well. There is a minhag ha'polim, right? There is a minhag of the way workers are treated and the way workers, etc. Mm-hmm. And that's going to bear impact here. However, if we're saying, well, the halacha for teachers are different than everything else, so then it's hard to figure out what exactly is going to be the minhag. But anyways, Rav Moshe in a tshuva, Choshen Mishpat Chelek Aleph Simen Ayin Vav and Simen Ayin Zayin. So in Ayin Vav, it's actually a tshuva to Rav Teitz, right? So Luz's uncle, right? Is that we had 2 weeks ago? It was to Luz's father, and now it's to Luz's uncle or first cousin once removed. They were related, I believe. Yes. Yeah. It says right here, Hagonav Beis Elizabeth. Okay. So he has that issue. This issue about removing Melamdin. Rav Moshe goes to the other extreme and seems to say that you can never remove Rabbanim. I keep saying Rabbanim. Teachers, Melamdin. That you're not entitled to. That it doesn't work. He says, below taina klal, ein yichol, without any taina, without what we refer to modern parlance as cause, right? Ein yichol masalik, you can't remove him. Afim neima kamosha kasav, even as you said, shehayu tzrichim limnosa b'chol shana, that every year it's like a renewable contract. Okay, but she'etzema din bi'arti, ba'orach ha'tshuva acha, she'socher pol stam, hu l'chol zman she'tzarech. That generally speaking, a person who's working without an agreed upon term in the beginning of the year, or in the beginning of his employment, that it's whatever as long as he wants. Hasorchel kagon befactory, right? It's just like in a factory. V'chein hu b'yeshiva shehu l'chol zman sheyiskaygu. So long as the yeshiva exists, right? He's got a job, unless there's some kind of cause to remove him. And he says, you want to say, well, you know, we only sign contracts 1 year at a time. He says, yeah, but that's meaningless, because everybody knows that you don't, that you're generally guaranteed employment going forward, unless there's some kind of cause to remove him. So now you want to remove him without cause, claiming that you're going to hold and hold the contract up. Says Rav Moshe, tough, right? It's meaningless. Right? So therefore, because there's, even though you signed a contract for 1 year, the assumption everybody has is that, yeah, you're a Rebbe, he's been a Rebbe here for 15, 20 years, he's going to be a Rebbe here for 25, 30 years, right? So just because you decide at the end of the year we want to get rid of him, tough, you're not allowed to get rid of him, even though it was only, he's only working on 1 year contracts at a time. That seems, that's what Rav Moshe seems to hold here.
You could conceive of a situation where you have a probationary period of like the first year, or maybe even the second year.
Right, but that's not what he's talking about.
Once you're someone, and once you're there for like 5 years, you get like 10 years.
Right, so that's what Rav Moshe. Right.
I mean, essentially, so that's from the get-go, it's all been tenure.
That's what he seems to be implying, that there's such a thing as tenure, even though it's never said. And even though in writing you sign, both sides are signing something that explicitly doesn't say that.
Yes.
Says Rav Moshe, no, that's the minug, and that minug would stand.
So you think he would agree to like the 1 year probationary period?
He might.
What does he do with it?
What?
What value is that?
I don't know.
If you put, okay, if you put that in a contract,
if you're not a good teacher the first year, you can. It's an employee contract.
So actually,
you have 3 months. You know,
I hear that.
There's two tshuvos here. It goes on for a page and a half. With one page with one tshuva, and another page with another half a page with ayin zayin. The only thing he alludes to that seems to actually have bearing here is that he says nivru rak lasos kedina torah shul l'shem shemay v'kevin shalasalik below time. If you're removing him without any argument, vaday eno l'shem shemayim. In Lamaschus, right? You're not doing L'shem Shemayim, right? The assumption is unless you can produce cause, right? You don't have a good reason for getting rid of him, and therefore it doesn't work. Now, what about you found somebody better? He doesn't address it. So in the sefer here that Gabe Pollack gave to me when he left, in the sefer Psichas Ha'igros. So he quotes this. He doesn't have that much on Chush and Mishpat Chuz, but he does have on this one that he quotes from both a tradition article in winter 2003, as well as a Chakira article, Chelek in the 12th volume. So I looked at both of these. They both the tradition article is by Rabbi Broid, the Chakira article is by Rabbi Warburg, I believe. And they both point out that the minhag is not the follower of Moshe on these tshuvos, and that's been the way. Both of them, interestingly enough, the tradition article as well as the chakir article are actually their reports on actually dinei Torah. I mean their psak on actual dinei Torah. They published, one published in tradition, one published years later in chakira, different cases. And both quote the tshuva of Rav Moshe, and both say that the minhag is not like him. He quotes here, I didn't look it up, but he quotes here a Chazon Ish, that we don't paskin like Rav Moshe. Well, Chazon Ish probably didn't quote Rav Moshe. But you have the Chazon Ish also siding on the side of what seems to be the general halacha. And he says, he quotes here from the Mishpatei Tishmor, I don't know what that is. Besides the fact that it's a big chiddush, Ladina, right? According to Allah, the Osel Advar of Chumra Gadol Ma'ob, which ends up being a very big Chumra. Well, depends which side of the issue you're on. Shekol Adam Shesocher Poel, Elo Shum Efsharos Ad Olam Lasalka, right? If somebody is being paid for their work, you don't have a way of getting rid of them, right? Ulofatro came and Shaski was Haisa Olam, because unless you put an end date, that's the way it is. Right, it can't be, because the hirer never. If you got into a hirer's mind, there's no way he has that in mind. There's no way that he thinks, oh yeah, I'm hiring you forever. Right? He definitely wouldn't have thought that. That's his psak. By the way, Rav Moshe, at the end here, brings up the idea, what about if it's just there aren't enough students anymore? What happens if the yeshiva downsizes? If the number of tamidim go down, let's say maybe you would get rid of the last one, lifo, right? Last in, first out, right? Oshu shovel a sharmar. Maybe everybody's the same. It's reichem lahatil goral. Maybe you need to take a lottery, ofenar some other way. Osha lito metzaza. I can't figure that out right now. And if you need, I'll write another tshuva on that topic.
Especially since some words said that you're worried about this, the teacher becoming complacent.
Yeah.
That was one of the things.
Yeah, I don't know. If anybody, if you run into like Rav Feinstein at a wedding, or a Reuven, if you came to town a couple of weeks ago, right? So you can ask them. I don't know. It's I don't know what to do with it.
I don't know about that, but I heard Rav Moshe Mirwais say today that Rav Reuven is very mocked that they should give the kids vaccines.
Yes.
Give the kids
vaccines. Yes, it was on one of the headlines recently. Have you heard it? On the headlines?
No, I just heard it on the tape.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, he had on headlines on the second vaccines one. He had Moshe Meir Weiss. Apparently, he had a wife who passed away.
His wife had cancer or something.
Right. So he talked about it in lieu of that. I know, but yeah, he was very pro-vaccine and told him that Reuven Feinstein told him that he has to go on. Yeah.
Even they're starting to vaccinate even the young kids, less than a year old, with measles because of these outbreaks.
Yes, my nephew, my sister in Far Rockaway, her son had to get early vaccines because they live in Far Rockaway, and she's there. All right, so back over here.
Where's here?
Yeah, I'm trying to decide where it's here.
So are we done with this issue? Because it seems to me that there's slippery slope here between going fast and being careful. And we seem to be saying at one point being careful is more important.
Yes.
But if one guy wants to cover 10 blood a year and the other covering 10 lines a year, you have to make some determination at some point. There has to be some minimum, that you have to cover. So it can't just be totally there, I would think. Plus, the kids are going to get bored if you keep doing the same things.
Yes. All true.
Okay.
All true. I broke all records when I taught at Torah Academy and taught the 8th grade Gemara Shir. I think I broke all records in terms of block covered in a year. Good. Covered.
Yeah. Is that why you left?
Whatever.
Moving right along.
My last year, we learned 15, 20 blocks.
Ooh,
cool. In Sachem, my last year there. All right, my second to last year. All right, anyway, so Yutess. Yutess we did. Chaf.
Where's Yochanan?
So, we should do the base Yosef. Let's do the tour.
Tour?
Yutess, yeah. Yud Ches.
We did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chaf and Chaf Aleph, right? Oh. Sorry, that at the bottom there. So in Chaf, so Mishain Lo, and the Torah says Mishain Lo Isha Lo Yilma Tinokos Bifnei Moseh Shemavim Beinayim. That if somebody doesn't have a wife, a single male, so he shouldn't be a Rebbe. If they Amoseh Shemavim Beinayim, because of the mothers who bring their children. So that's what it says in Maseches Kedushin. Now, it's interesting is that, well, if you take a look at the Mishnah here, it's quoted in the Beis Yosef. Let's just do the next. The next line is V'isha lo talami tinokos, and a female shouldn't teach the children either, if they have v'in shem v'in b'nei, because of the fathers that bring their sons. So there you have it. The only people that can be teachers are married men. Right, that's what comes out here if you do the math. So the Beis Yosef here quotes it from the Mishnah, Maseches Kedushin, Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Now, when you go to Pei Beis Amud Aleph, the end of Maseches Kedushin, what halachos are we talking about there at the very end of Kedushin? Right, those are the laws of Yichud. Right, the last thing covered in Seder Nashim are the laws of Yichud. So that's what's being discussed here. So Mishnah Besof Kedushin, Lo Yilmad Ravok Sofrim, Lo Talamid Isha Sofrim. that a bachelor, one should not, a single male should not teach children, and lo tzalami isha, so neither should a woman. Rabbi Lezer omer, af mi she'ein imo isha lo yalamit, even somebody who doesn't have his wife with him shouldn't teach children either. Right? So what does that mean? It means his wife has to like be with him and like, you know, knitting on the side of the classroom. What's going on there? Yeah. So Ubagamara Ravok Mishum Amasa Dinuka Isha Mishum Avasa Dinuka. And then comes out from the Gemara, it says because of the mothers of the children and because of the fathers of the children. Now, with regards to that din of Rabbi Eliezer added in, what happens if the mother is not around, the wife is not around? So he says, what happens if she's not, does it mean she's not there at all? She's not like right next to him. So Tashma, af mi sheishlo v'eina shirui etzlo, l'yamot sofer. If she's not them, af mi she, if he's there, v'eina shirui etzlo, l'yamot sofer. And it suggests that even somebody who is, she's there, he has a wife, but she's just not there, he shouldn't teach. So what does that mean, not there? Not there means not there in the room next to him, or not there in the city, or not there in the state? Like, what is that talking about? So in Yerushalmi, then Savamri Yerushalmi, Ve'ina Shuri Yatzel, Ba'usa Makom, meaning in that place. So it seems like in that general place, not that she has to actually be in school. So first of all, it's odd that he's passing Rebbe Eliezer in the first place because he seems to be disagreeing with the Tanakhama. That's also the laws of Yichud, right? Imos habanim boos lebeis hasef, once the mothers come. Vein hamulamit tzarek shetia ishto shiruya imo bebeis hasef. It doesn't mean that the wives actually have to be there. These are the words of the Rambam. Elahaya bevesa. She could be in her home. Vehu mulamit bimukomu. And he's teaching in his place. I mean, that's okay. As long as they're, you know, in the same town. V'chasav rahamagi shetam shepat. The wives that we pass on to Rabbi Yehazim. Vishum diyibay lon alibe. Because the Gemara seems to ask according to Rebbe Eliezer. I mean, the Gemara is clarifying Rebbe Eliezer's shita, it must be that we hold like Rebbe Eliezer. So that is that's interesting. I'm not sure that's always so clear that that's the way the Gemara that's the way we should paskin. But that's often that's the case. I mean, when the Gemara starts trying to figure out based on one of the Tanayim, so that seems to assume that we paskin like that Tana, and that's why the Gemara is spending so much time on it. So, Kashi Yish Lidchos Mishim the Nafka Mina the Tana Kama, that there could be a Tana, and the rest I didn't really get what the Magamish was driving at. But that seems to be, we seem to be paskin like Rabbi Eliezer.
Fine. As long as she's in the city.
As long as she's in the city, we're going to be Machmir for that, yeah. So, the, so in the Shulchan Aruch, back to the Shulchan Aruch here. So how does he pass in here? So he says, in Chaf Aleph, lo talamit isha tinokos v'tnei avihen shemevim b'neihem. That one should not teach, a woman shouldn't teach children because of the fathers. That would bring their sons. And echad mivnei, skip Chaf. Chaf, mishein lo isha lo yomot tinokos v'fshei shemusei mevim b'neihem. The truth is, it leaves out, and basically we've also left it out. I didn't notice that before. Do I still have it up here? I'm not getting reception here. Essentially, the Rambam gives different reasons for each. So I found that interesting. The Rambam says that I'm not pulling it here. Oh, history will show up. Yeah, maybe it will.
You want a hard copy?
No. Okay, we're good here. The Rambam was Halachid Gimel. Yeah, so Mishain lo isha lo yilduay the Rambam yilamitinokas if they she imos habanim bos lebeis hasefer, was the mothers bring the sons lebeis hasefer livnehem v'nimsa mizgare benashim. What does that mean? Because he will be tempted by the woman, right? V'chein Isha lo talami katan, a woman shouldn't teach young sons because they shavu sehim because of their fathers who will come. Why? Shehim bayin beglal b'nehem, v'nimsu misyachdim yima, and they will have yichud with her. Right? So the male single teacher, we're concerned that he'll be tempted. And the female teacher, we're concerned of yichud. They don't line up. Not sure where how the Rambam got that and what that means. But it seems like there's something there of interest. And the Lotam Yishu Togos V'Avim Shemavim B'Nei, right? So those halachos stand here. Now, I don't know who's machmer on this and who's not, and where the machmer. I mean, in theory, it shouldn't make a difference whether it's male children or female children, right? It shouldn't make a difference whether it's boys or girls.
If you don't say the way the Rambam does, then you have the question, why is it different whether he's married or not?
Right.
If he's married, so yichud still applies.
Right.
Well, otherwise, tempted should not apply.
Oh, I see.
But with the woman's case, if the guy is going to be there, so he'll be alone with her. So that's...
Yichud applies to him also. Him with the married woman who's bringing the child.
Right. But it doesn't seem to matter whether he's married or not. It seems to be important whether the Malaman is married, but not whether the father of the child is probably married.
Yeah, no, he is. I understand. Why
is it different? That's the question. Why is the man?
Yeah, not sure.
Even if he's married, he can't be alone with the woman. So it's because he's saying it's yichud. Yeah. You're saying why isn't yichud the other way around?
Right. So I'm not sure who's machmer on this. I mean, if you go to Haredi schools in Eretz Yisrael, for boys, it's all male teachers. For girls, I assume it's mostly female teachers. I'm not sure. So I don't know who's machmer and how machmer and from what ages. It's right. Plus, it doesn't seem like it's an issue about the kids. It seems that the issue is the parents who are bringing the kids. So what's the reason that the possibly make go on this? So he gives, I think, four reasons here from Rishonim as to what the reasons are. He says, number one, because maybe it doesn't happen that the woman bring the sons to school. Okay. Number two, ha'isru dafka lios milamed bekvios. The issue is only if you're doing this permanently, but if it's only once in a while, maybe it would be permissible. Okay, it also doesn't really solve the problem. Number three, b'makom she'in masvik milam, there aren't enough teachers. I mean, this is din l'chadchila, but b'di'eved, you could override that. And then he adds in, Yesha kasu shebizmanenu nagu lahakel b'chol ofen. Why? Ki anashim nimsus barachov. Those women are actually found in the streets. V'lachein, who's he quoting this from? This is quoting from Sefer Dvar Halacha, Amun al Torah, from Shermach. I mean, these are really more modern people. So, but nowadays, women are found in the streets. Ki anashim nimsus barachov. V'lachein enu gorm hirher. And therefore, it doesn't cause here just because the mother shows up with this son. Masha'ein ki medoros hakamonim kamat lo hayu hanashim yosos mibesam. Right? And back in the day, women didn't leave their houses. So you didn't see them ever. So now, because you do have experience seeing them, so it's not going to cause the things that are mentioned there. And finally, yesh mishakasu shi malami bevayis tamatora mutter. Right, if you're in a yeshiva, so then it's okay. Ki derech kal yesh od harbor. There's many other people there, and therefore you don't have to be as concerned. So that might have been when there was a one rebbe system, which is what part of the issue of what we skipped. But nowadays, when you bring them to school, so one does not have to be as concerned. There's a little bit more here in Chaf Beis with regards to competition, the issue of setting up your own school. Shulchan Aruch seems to be Mater Legamre setting up a new school in town. You don't have to worry about any Haseka school issues. Well, I guess with that, and with regards to Hilchos Talmud Torah, maybe we'll pick up with your session next week. Oh, yeah. So I still have to